This week's Parsha's Pinchas, we find a very unusual set of events. The events actually happened last week, but the response for the events happened this week. And at first glance, it seems quite inappropriate is the wrong word for it, but it doesn't seem to fit the reward, fit the action. We know from last week's Parsha that Cosby and Zimri behaves in a very inappropriate fashion among Klal Yisrael, and Pinchas, as a Kenai, as a zealous person, came with his spear, and he killed both of them in public. By doing that, he protected Klal Yisrael with a very very courageous act, even eventually having ridicule directed at him from other people in the tzibur that he should take this matter in his own hands like that. And through that action, though, he saved much of Klal Yisrael. And two things are told to us as a Parsha as a reward, as a consequence for what he did. One of them was the reward of he became a Kohen. Now, again, he was in the family of Aaron a Kohen anyways. We see Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. So he really should have been a Kohen, but due to a technicality being that he was born before HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Kohen a descendant matter. It was Aaron and his children originally. And then eventually Hashem makes it that Aaron's descendants will then their descendants will also become Kohanim. But Pinchas was born by that beforehand. So he wasn't part of that birthright. And right now when he does the action, he becomes a Kohen. Again, that seems to be a little bit deserved that he should become a Kohen, but it is a little bit strange that that action resulted in his becoming a Kohen. That's just one thing that seems a little bit not necessarily seeming to meet the behavior that he did. But what bothers me even more than that is the second thing he was given. He was given what's called a Bris Shalom, a covenant of peace. Now, the word Shalom means many, many things, but the context of peace seems to be very much out of place for what Pinchas did. And Pinchas deserves reward. He deserves us to shower him with accolades of great behavior, of protecting Klal Yisrael and saving many people's lives in the process, and certainly keeping up with with Jewish people's kedusha and making sure that was a major part of who we were. He should have been given a purple heart. He should be given an award of a courageous warrior. But a person, you know, imagine you had the top sniper in all of the Israeli army. So he's not really given a badge of peace. Given a badge of courage. Given a badge of, you know, he's recognized, but not in a way of shalom. Doesn't seem to be the right recognition. The question is, Pinchas, why was he given the badge of Shalom? There's an idea brought down in the Sefer HaChinuch when he goes and describes the many mitzvahs related to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and particularly one of them as he addresses it, which is the mitzvah of not breaking bones, the bone of the Korban Pesach, when you are eating the Korban Pesach. And the reason why it's a mitzvah, says the Sefer HaChinuch, the idea behind it, it's because kings don't have to break it bones to suck marrow out. A king has plenty of flesh to eat. He doesn't have to crack open a bone. That's a sign of someone who's desperate for food and for nourishment, and anything they can get off that stick, off that bone, they're gonna take. So in order for us to realize that we're kings, that we leave Mitzrayim and we're leaving as kings, as free people, so the halacha is, the Torah tells you don't break a bone on the Korban Pesach, and the Sefer HaChinuch says the reason being is what we just said, because you have to remind yourself that you were kings leaving Mitzrayim. Sefer HaChinuch takes a little pause in his commentary, and he says, take a look back. You'll notice there's approximately 12, 14, whatever the number of mitzvahs there are, back to back to back to back, all about reminding yourself about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he wants to know, he says, I don't understand, for what reason is it so important that we constantly remind ourselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim? We know it happens, it's in the Torah, we have maybe one or two reasons we should have mitzvahs to remind us about it, but why 12, why 14? It seems to be a little bit out of hand. He goes on to make a very famous line, it's been quoted by people all over in many different contexts. And the Lashon Sefer Chinuch is Achrei ha'pu'ulos nimshachin ha'lavavos, which means after our behaviors, our actions, our hearts are pulled. Whatever it is that we do on a regular basis, that we're going to be doing, it affects who we are as people. We see this in many, many areas, both in Jewish life as well as in secular life. Just as an example, in secular life, you have many times, and it's also halacha in Judaism as well, when a person goes to war. So if you ever watched a war movie, you have people who are good people, who are kind people, who have families, and they'll act in a way that an animal would act, whether it be to violate a woman or to kill someone who seems to be somewhat innocent in the course of battle. They have a certain, you know, a dignity of a person kind of goes away because how involved they are in war and in spilling blood. There's a halach like that as well. The Eishes Tifas Torah, a man goes to war and he comes into contact while he's in war with a woman from the enemy side, and he's allowed to take her and quote unquote even kidnap her against her will, and eventually marry her forcibly, potentially even. There's a discussion in the Gemara. How forcibly is it? The first time he's with her, maybe he can be against her will. The second time he has to wait for her to go through a process of leaving her family and her religion behind. Whatever it might be, in the end, these aren't things that you'd expect the Torah to permit. But because, as Rashi points out and Parshas Kitetzeh, that the Torah speaking can negate the Yetzirah of a person in a time of war changes who the person is. And the reason why, an idea why, is that Achrei HaPulos Nimshachin HaLavavos. When we act in certain ways, our heart is brought to those same places. And this, you can find this in many areas of life, and whether it be peer pressures or social norms. There are studies that are done for people who watch violent shows on television, that they, in some fashion or form, it breeds a level of a violent culture in their own lives. People who've grown up in certain homes, it's natural that they would have their own homes that way as well. What you see is really, oftentimes, it is, it becomes part of who you end up being and what you end up doing as well. That being said, Pinchas right now was someone who committed a very appropriate act, but a very violent act. And that violent act has ramifications. He's a human being, and human beings are affected by what happens around them. And when he's the one who took a spear and he killed two people, in broad daylight, in an act like that, which is a violent act, appropriate but violent, it's an act that one could only imagine it would lead to some level of inner turmoil, of change of who he was, because now violence became part of who he was. And that's a fear, that's a fair, appropriate fear, and it should be that case. And it even would have been that case had it not been for HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a Bris Shalom. The Bris Shalom wasn't because he did an act that was full of peace. Because Hashem says, I don't want you to be affected by this behavior. I don't want that to be the case. And therefore, I'm going to counter the natural feeling that one usually has when he commits an action like this, when he does an action like this, which would be a level of violence being part of who you are. I'm giving you a Bris Shalom, so it should, the impact that could be will not be by you. But you see from over here a very, very important idea. And that idea is that the reality is, without that Bris Shalom, the norm would be that he would be affected negatively. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say it's not the case. It would have been the case. Hashem had to give him something special to counter that consequence. We're right now in the time of the 3 weeks. And differently, but also on the same page, the time of Bein HaZmanim for many boys who are instructors of learning for yeshivas. And it's a very, very challenging time. 3 weeks is a time when we had, one very, very important thing as well. There's a Gemara in Sota, and this will lead into what I was about to mention. It's a Gemara in Sota that brings down and says that Chanifa, which means flattery, a person flatters inappropriately someone, and the Gemara tells a story about Agrippa Samelech, who was the king of Bnei Yisrael, and whether he should have been or shouldn't have been, it sounds like he probably should not have been the king. But Bnei Yisrael welcomed him as the king, and they said words to him that were very kind, even words that weren't really necessarily 100% true, to try to make him feel better. That's called Chanifa, to make a Rasha feel like he's really a tzaddik, don't worry about it, it's okay what happened, when it's really not okay. So that's an Isra called Chanifa. And the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara goes on and tells you 8 things that happen for someone who does Chanifa inappropriately. And there's even a Gemara that says, the Gemara brings down, it's on Daf Mem Aleph Mabez, and I'll read the Lashon to you inside. It's a very powerful line. The Gemara says, Amar Bisham Min Chalafta, Miyom Shegavra Agrofa Shel Chanufa, the time when Chanifa, when flattery became so rampant, so prevalent, I'll skip to the last thing he says, Ein Adam Yochol Lomar L'Chaveru Maasei Maasei Gdol Mimaasecha. A person cannot say to his friend that my actions are better than your actions. And the reason why Rashi brings down, and this, I'm taking a little bit of a license to exaggerate a little bit, is that no one really knows anymore whose actions are good. Why? What's the problem? Why is flattery so bad? Why does Rabbi Elazar give 8 things that happen with someone who flatters? It's so negative. Because what flattery means is that when you listen to someone, you hear someone doing something wrong, and someone else says, no, it's fine, you're doing fine, it's okay what you did, it's really fine. So it creates a confusion of what's really right in the world, what's not right in the world. And that happens so many times when people are saying things to each other that aren't really true. And you surround yourself with things that are fake and that are not real, and then no longer do you realize what's real either. We live in a world right now when there's so much fakeness going on in the world that no one even knows what's real. Not only that, but people that are real are critiqued for being real. You know, you look around and just in the media, and you have Israel, and you have the Palestinians. And I never understood, how could anybody see a different story than we see? How can anyone see, you know, we're the aggressors, we're the oppressors, we're trying to live our lives peacefully. You know, if they would walk into one of our areas, there's no threat to their life. If we'd walk into, stumble by accident to the wrong street, we'd be killed. We're the aggressors. And yet the world is completely, almost the entire world is a different view of what's going on around us. And the reason why, because we live in a world when people are not real, and therefore lessons are not real, morality is not real, and everything around us becomes not real. And they're seeing things with a skewed lens because the world is full of skewed lenses. The world is not real. How do we go about fixing that? So the way we go about fixing that, and this is one of the most important things that a person is supposed to do, is to study Torah. What does Torah do for us? Torah gives us the opportunity to read things that are real, to engage in thought that is real. Even if you don't like learning Gemara, you don't enjoy it, but what you get out of the process is you stay true, you stay real. There's a system. There's the Ribbono Shel Olam who's in charge of the system. You learn about what the system is. You may not, it never applies to you, but it keeps you in a place when your mind is dealing with things that are true and real. And that opportunity is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us as a gift, which should make us a light unto the nations. Why are we the light unto the nations? Because we're the ones who can guarantee, if we stick true to the Torah, we guarantee that we have that proper sense of morality. That where the rest of the world is going crazy and seeing crazy things and completely fake, we keep it real. By having the Torah study, by having the Masorah that we have, because we're, instead of watching movies and television where the themes and the messages, who knows what they're telling us, if we're reading the Gemara, we're reading the Chumash, and reading the commentaries, then we're keeping it real. That is the only way that a person has his head on straight. Any other way, it's just lucky if you had your head on straight. Because the world around us is full of so many things that are distracting and confusing and fake. And that's why the Gemara in Sotah is so harif about Chanifa. Because if you flatter someone, then in the end of the day, no one understands what's the truth anymore. And you run around the world not seeing truth. And you're so adamant with your position, but it's just wrong. And there are people who will not only that, but if you even suggest they're wrong, then you become a pariah. You become, you know, no one wants to listen to you anymore. If you even suggest that their opinion is inappropriate. In the time of Bein HaZmanim, though, we're back to a little bit of a difficulty. Because Bein HaZmanim is a time when we're not all sitting and learning Torah. And therefore, for us, the Torah study is not something that becomes part of our routine anymore. We gave it up for the summertime. We're going to this place, we're going to that place, and that presents a challenge. The challenge is that we're in an environment around us when if you look around you and you read articles and you watch the television and you see the movies, then you're exposed to things that aren't real anymore. And as we know, Achrei HaPa'ulos Nimshachim HaLevavos, whatever you see, whatever you do, it affects our heart also. And that's what happened to Pinchas. Pinchas became a hero, and Kadosh Baruch Hu had to protect him that he shouldn't be affected by what happened, and he gave him a Bris Shalom, so that what happened shouldn't bother him. It shouldn't affect his internal moral compass. But what about us? Bein HaZmanim, we don't have a Bris Shalom from Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the 3 weeks is a time, it's a very dangerous time, because we have Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? It's something's wrong. We have a hatred for no reason. Our moral compass is off. That happened during the 3 weeks and the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. Here we are ourselves in that period of time. It's up to us as we read it by Parshas Pinchas. And we understand by Kadosh Baruch Hu's need, quote unquote, to give part Pinchas a Bris Shalom, the impact that actions have on our thoughts. We should understand that whether we like learning Torah or don't like learning Torah, Torah keeps us grounded and anchored into truth. And the more we remove ourselves from Torah, the greater the danger is. And you look around us and you see the Masechah Sotah describes with great passion how bad flattery and inappropriate, moralities will become in the end. That no one even knows who's right. No one even knows who's better than the other person. And we're stuck right now. Just open up any newspaper and watch any news show and you can see it with your own eyes. People are so lost in what's right and what's not right. How could this be? Because we're losing our moral compass. We don't have the anchor. And Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us 2 things. He gave us the Torah, and with the Torah, he gave us him. And for us to study the Torah, and to engage in Torah study, and to have Rabbanim who are guiding us and directing us, It is the only way for us to keep our moral compass straight and to fight everything else, the whirlwind around us that's outside. So I'll give you a bracha on this Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Pinchas, already into the 3 weeks. We should merit to be able to spend our time, our Bein HaZman time, in a productive fashion, finding time for our morality, our Torah study, whether you love learning Torah or you don't love learning Torah, but to know the necessity of it, to allow us to stay strong, to be able to understand that our behaviors lead to future behaviors and future thought process. We should be zocha to have these 3 weeks turn from avilus to geula, to be able to take what's in our hearts and bring them forth in a positive fashion. We should have a beautiful Shabbos.